Welcome back. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. People have been asking, what are you going to do, another one-man show, another performance someday, somewhere, somehow? We will. We'll book them. And we'll do them as the opportunity presents itself. Our number, 855-500-7445. We're going to be talking on Monday, as a matter of fact, with some dear, close, personal friends of ours about that and something else I haven't forgotten about at all. We had a, as you know, we had a holiday there. We had the Christmas holiday and New Year holiday. And in the meantime, we've, since last spring, been working on an animated project that has gained, momentum. So it's interesting keeping people abreast of these things. You ask yourself, well, should I? Because it's anything can, you know, blow it up at a minute's notice. But it's kind of exciting, and I think it's a logical move. So we'll see what happens. But sure as hell, man, a lot of things are in the works, and we're very, very much looking forward to this year of 2014.
It's already 1 month into it.
I know we're 1 month into it, bud, you know.
Well, so we're 1 month into it. So what?
Well, you're saying you're looking forward to the year. You're only looking forward to...
All right, bud, so he's only looking forward to 11 months of the year.
Yeah, well, so what? Just can't say you're looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to the 11 months left in the year. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Which parts of us are Neanderthal? Well, in Bud's case,
I think that means the brain.
And a little bit, well.
And a little bit of what?
The mug.
So I look like an ape man.
No, no one's saying that. A double-barrel comparison of ancient Neanderthal DNA with hundreds of modern-day genomes suggests that many of us have Neanderthal skin and hair traits. Are you ready for that? A double-barreled comparison of ancient Neanderthal DNA with hundreds of modern-day genomes suggests that many of us have Neanderthal skin and hair traits. Researchers have found that Neanderthal genetic coding is found with high frequency in genes that affect skin characteristics. Now, that suggests that beneficial coding was picked up from Neanderthals to help humans adapt to non-African environments. Earlier studies have suggested the traits for redheadedness are of Neanderthal origin.
Oh, my God. That means you're...
Well, Phil, you've got some Neanderthal traits in you.
Okay, so what? So?
Well, don't that mean that means you're kind of a lame brain, right? Don't it?
Doesn't mean I'm... Do you think I'm a lame brain?
No, but I mean it means you got... just kind of ape man.
It does mean you have ape man traits.
It doesn't mean anything other than the fact that I've got red hair. Red hair is of Neanderthal origin. Okay.
Well, what does that mean exactly?
What it means is that the Neanderthal, which, by the way, was predominant in Europe, the caveman, as we've come to know the Neanderthal, I think if you think of the caveman, if we have this image in our mind of the caveman, I think more often than not we're thinking of a Neanderthal-type creature, a guy who is sort of roughly covered with animal skins. He's got a club, and he's...
Yeah, he's knocking a chick over on the head and everything.
Well, I don't know if that's the case, knocking a woman on the head. Why do you say that?
Well, that's the sort of image of the ape man, that sort of rough and sexy, beat a woman up and then drag her into bed and you know.
Oh, that's sexy, huh?
No, it's not in that sense, but the ape man is a sexy, I don't know how to put it.
Does that mean I'm sexy?
No.
So I guess the sexy part of that, I didn't inherit, man. I got the red hair, but...
But you do have ape man traits, and that's something you'll have to face.
Sooner or later, you do have to face it down.
What is the face down, man? What do I got to look at here? I got to look in the mirror, you know, and say, you know what, Henry, you've got Neanderthal DNA. So,
Well, doesn't some of that give you pause?
About what?
You don't feel inferior.
No, I don't feel inferior. What do you mean? Why would it give me pause if we have Neanderthal? Here's the thing that I always understood about Neanderthal man, that branch of hominid that did not survive its encounter with the human race. The human that we are, our ancestors interbred at times with Neanderthals. It didn't happen to the point where we look much like them, but we did interbreed with them to the point where we got some of these characteristics, as this article is indicating. There were some who felt that Neanderthals, some scientists have theorized that Neanderthals were to some point sterile. Well, that couldn't possibly be because they have they had offspring themselves. But there was a thought that perhaps, you know, humans and Neanderthals could not procreate together. But apparently that's not the case because there was offspring that eventually gave rise to, at least in some humans, this Neanderthal DNA. I don't know how the whole thing came down.
Well, what do you think a Neanderthal and a human baby looked like?
Probably like a Neanderthal.
It probably looked a lot like a... if you look, for instance, at Mo Howard... And I don't mean to be funny. Please don't laugh.
What?
I said don't let...
Watch it, General. Put your hands on his throat. What's with everybody trying to strangle Bud?
It's a natural instinct.
Yes, it is.
All right, hold on.
I was going to say, and I say this with the deepest of respect, that a human and a Neanderthal baby would look somewhat like Mo Howard.
Of the Three Stooges?
Yes, Mo Howard of the Three. If you look at Mo Howard's kisser, see this one here's laughing. I'm like,
hey, it's funny.
It is kind of funny. I mean, come on.
Well, what's fun? Mo Howard is, I'm not trying to be funny.
Well, what do you mean by Mo Howard?
What do I mean by Mo Howard? I mean Mo Howard. Wow.
I mean, do you mean that Mo... You know, I don't like being laughed at.
Well, then don't ask... What I mean by Mo Howard is Mo Howard.
Now, they say... Can I just interrupt here?
No. I'm not done talking. Do you understand?
Yes, I understand now. Mo Howard.
Yes. And Mo Howard, to me, had the Neanderthal human... kisser on him, you know, the grill.
Okay.
Now, I want to ask a question, if I could.
No, wait, I want to ask a question, if I could. Isn't it true that, and I saw a thing about this in the news, that women find sexier the kind of male face...
Yes, that's the point I wanted to raise.
Right, they're sort of a squished-in Neanderthal face?
Women apparently respond to that more positively sexually, yes. Now, I don't know whether that's true or not, but that was the study.
Well, how do you feel about Mo Howard?
Mo Howard was a comic. Mo Howard was a funny man. Mo Howard did all of that nonsense. Do I get excited when I see Mo Howard? I think any woman would answer yes.
But when he's got on the bull haircut?
I'll ignore that comment because I find that disrespectful to the feelings that are elicited in me by Mo Howard. You see?
So you're serious?
Yes, why wouldn't I be serious? You minimize what I'm saying by that question.
Well, Phil, that's proof. And even the bull haircut, and I say bull haircut because this one said that, but the bull haircut doesn't minimize it.
That particular haircut's got nothing to do with the very Neanderthal face that Mo Howard has, yes.
All right. So, in other words...
I don't have to keep repeating it.
All right. So, I want to come back and investigate Margaret's feelings about Mo Howard.
Hey.
When we come back here...
You know what? I'm not going to be ridiculed, Phil.
It's fine, but I think I have a right to ask you questions.
What about the bowl haircut?
I don't call it a bowl haircut.
All right. Let's not call it... Are you serious?
Well, yes, I am serious. She says she finds Mo Howard... He elicits a feeling of strong sexual urges, and even with the bowl haircut, you see.
Sounds like your voice is drying out.
No, it isn't. I guess, yes, it is.
Yeah, it is. So get yourself something to drink, get yourself something to smoke, get yourself something, anything, General, and we will be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, continuing our discussion here about Neanderthal genes and how Mo Howard of the Three Stooges is a very likely... A candidate, if you'd like to look at what a Neanderthal and human offspring look like, Mo, with the bull haircut. We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com, and I'm playing this song here as a request by Nikki, and I asked her, what is the instrument there at the very beginning of that song? Do you know, young lady? Huh? You wanted to hear it.
I'm not sure.
Well, by the way, that's a Neanderthal there we have on Phil TV. I'll play it again, And I'm sure there's a lot of people that know what instrument this is. It's rarely used in rock and roll. It's a string instrument. It's a very common instrument. It's an instrument that many American homes has, or have. It's a stringed instrument that a man who just died recently played often in concert.
Banjo?
A man, a what?
Banjo?
Yes, it's a banjo. It's a banjo.
Sounds very Indian-like.
Right. Well, that was the brilliance of that group, you know. And I forget who's playing it in the Hollies there, but they took that banjo and they said, well, let's get a sound. And, you know, when you're an inventive and creative musician, as they were, as many are, who pique our interest, they will do creative and inventive things and use instruments that we are familiar with but never knew. All right. So welcome back to the program here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. So we're talking about Neanderthal DNA. Our genomes have these amazing stories that we're still learning how to read that tell us about our past 50 to 100,000 years ago, says University of Washington geneticist Joshua Akey, a co-author of the Science Study. Now, the study basically says two separate teams of researchers in the journal Science and Nature followed up on previous studies showing that Neanderthals interbred with humans outside of Africa. Even though the Neanderthal went extinct about 30,000 years ago, they left traces of their genetic code in non-African DNA, and now scientists are starting to discover exactly what that code does. Because the Neanderthal, while he did arise out of Africa as man did, settled in Europe for the most part, I think. If you look at where a lot of the Neanderthal fossil record is found, is Europe. Now, I don't quote me because I'm not a total genius on this stuff. Dr. Jim Sadler, who we have called, and I think he was in the middle of what, Bud?
He's getting a haircut.
He was getting a haircut. It's what time is it? It's the middle of the night here.
What do you mean he's getting a haircut?
Well, he said he was getting trimmed.
All right, never mind, Bud.
I'm sorry. A lady answered.
So I tell you what, why don't you just, is he ready?
Well, he'll be ready in a...
Okay, yeah, in a few minutes. Dr. Sadler has looked into this stuff, even though he was a veterinarian and eventually became a general practitioner. We always bring him on the show to ask him about things like biology, astrophysics, geology, all kinds of stuff. The findings report that even though Neanderthals, you know, went extinct 30,000 years ago, that the humans interbred with them. And there was some feeling that before the study started that there was no possible way any Neanderthal DNA still existed in humans, that there could not have been any real successful offspring. There couldn't have been any real record of humans and Neanderthals successfully interbreeding. They just didn't feel it was possible. However, we find now that our genomes, according to this study, have some amazing stories to tell when it comes to the Neanderthal. All right, Dr. Jim Sadler on the line with us here from San Diego this evening. Dr. Sadler, have you seen this study in Science Magazine?
Phil, I did not. Out of the country.
Okay, we're having a hard time. Doc, you there?
Well, that's what everybody... Maybe we'll do that.
Okay, I didn't hear that. Say that again, Doctor.
All the midgets.
Okay, we're going to have to call him back, Bud, okay?
Yeah, okay, hold on.
No, I'm not holding on for anything. We got to call him back. So while we get Dr. Sadler back, I will continue with my reading here. Apparently, according to this, and this is a very brief, and you have him?
Yeah.
Dr. Sadler, you there?
Are you?
Hey, Doc, can you hear me?
What? Phil, I'm trying... Bieber.
What is he talking about?
Dr. Sadler, this is Margaret. Hello.
All right, how are you?
I'm good.
I'm trying to... having a difficult time hearing... Roll the Hobo.
All right.
What are you talking about, Roll the Hobo?
Never mind, Bud.
Hold on. What are you trying to pull, anyway?
Lick me.
All right, that's it. We're done with him, okay?
Wait a minute, there's
something... Yeah, there's something wrong, all right. There's something wrong at his house. There's something wrong with him.
Well, you said that the man was getting, well,
instead of getting a trim.
Yeah, that's... So we interrupted him, and I don't... We need to talk to him anymore, bud, okay?
Let me try one more time.
Hey, are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
I don't need to talk to the guy anymore.
Yes, sir.
Would you mind if I try?
What are you going to try, Robert? What are you going to do?
Find out what's going on.
Find out what's going on. Okay. Go ahead. Find out what's going on. In the meantime, looking back here, as I mentioned, on the actual record that we have here, and that is that there was a study done in Science magazine, and it has to do with whether or not... Okay, what?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry, Phil. He had a difficult... That buddy was said to me.
Okay, I'm getting every other word, and I suspect that there is, you know...
Of trying, you know?
No, sir, I don't. I'm suspecting there's a problem with your cell phone.
All right. Well, if you want me to move, I can move. Hedy Lamarr? Okay, so?
What?
Oh.
What is he saying?
I don't know. Hello, Dr. Sadler. It's Margaret. How are you?
Margaret? Margaret, you... Big ones. Okay? Are you hearing that?
No, we're not hearing any... We're hearing every other word.
They're hearing...
Yeah.
Okay, what is going on there? You know, that's all I'm asking. Why don't you take him off the air? That's it. Now, talk to him off air, okay?
Yeah, Dr. Sadler, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we could not understand you. Bud could not understand you. All right?
Are you understanding him?
Yes, sir. I'll put you back on. Good. He said it's good now.
Dr. Sadler, I'm sorry we were having such a difficult time.
Oh, I understand, Phil. Handstands with a pygmy.
All right. I can't understand it, you know.
Well, let me try.
No, we're not trying anything, man. That's about the 18th time. We're not going to try anything else.
All right, Dr. Sadler, Mr. Henry, he came out here... He can't understand you saying. No, Mr. Henry, I want to know when you had your hearing checked.
Give me the phone. Give me the phone, will you? Hey, Jim, Dr. Sadler, how are you? Phil Hendry? Sir, here's what's happening, if I could just tell you. Every time we put you on the air, we're hearing every other word. We're hearing a non sequitur. I had my hearing checked. My hearing's fine. I can hear everybody. Why am I hearing background noise? Where are you? Where are you? Okay. Let's try it one more time. Jim, can you hear me?
Phil, I can hear you, and you are hearing me. Bozo. Bozo. All right?
No, I'm not all right. Not all right. I didn't understand that.
When she was walking with me. So when you say, I'm all right. Admiral Nimitz.
Okay, get him out of here, will you, for crying out loud?
Why are you so angry?
Why am I angry? I'm hearing a guy, every other word, Admiral Nimitz, bozo, and pygmies doing handstands. And I want to know what it is he's saying, and I don't even get to know that because I can't understand anything. Can you understand it?
No, I can't understand. Don't know what he's talking about. That's what I'm saying, let him back on.
I'm not going to let him back on because I can't hear anything.
Phil, you're not going to understand anything he's saying. Unless you allow him to be on the air.
No, you're getting the whole thing wrong. I'm not going to hear him on the air because I can't understand what he's saying on the air. Every time I had him on the air, I was hearing something real weird. Real weird. So it's not going to happen. Oh, come on, will you? Get it.
I don't know what's going on.
Well, it makes me wonder what's happening over there.
Where is he?
He said he was at home.
Well, I'm hearing a jackhammer. I'm hearing another guy, it sounds like.
What's so funny?
I don't know. It just is funny to me. He's at home, huh?
That's where he said he was, at home. I said, where are you? He's at home.
Well, I'm hearing a jackhammer and the voice of at least another man. You know.
Oh, is that funny to you? Does that connote sexuality?
Yes, it does.
What an ass, Phil, mocking me.
Well, you know, if the shoe fits, what do you want me to tell you?
1 minute.
All right, getting back to this article, Chris Stringer, who's an anthropologist at London's Natural History Museum, who's not yet involved in either study, said in an email that the latest findings provide yet another twist to the hotly debated Neanderthal interbreeding story. So this seems to be one of great, great contention between scientists. Did humans interbreed with Neanderthals or not? Previous studies indicate that non-Africans have 1 to 4% Neanderthal DNA in their genomes. Why is that? Because the Neanderthal and human made their contact in Europe, not in Africa. It was in Europe. And because I have red hair, apparently now I have Neanderthal DNA. Gee, thanks a lot. Whatever. World famous Phil Hendry Show at philhendryshow.com, online at philhendryshow.com, and at TuneIn on the Phil Hendry channel on TuneIn. We are live 7 to 10 every Monday through Friday, Pacific time. Check us out. And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. So I got a little bit deeper into this thing.
This is the Hollies.
Yes, this is the Hollies. Because Nikki likes them, and we're playing a little of the Hollies for her tonight. Now, here is a thing that I think is really cool, and I want to read it.
Give me
that. Don't pull it. If you pull anything out of my hand, bud, I'm going to kick your ass. Do you understand?
Yeah, but you're messing it up.
Well, I'll take it. Let me see this.
No, give it to me. Give me that. Now I've lost my place.
You're reading about Neanderthals. There, does that help?
Yeah, that helps. Now the current view, and this is important, is that the branch of our family tree that gave rise to Neanderthals migrated out of Africa first. Okay, so the Neanderthal, you got to understand the human family tree is not as we one time thought it was. We thought it was a tree with a bunch of branches. Now we think the human family tree is pretty much the trunk with just little branches shooting off, and that the Homo sapien has always been the Homo sapien. There has been very little in the way of crossbreeding or taking sort of detours or left or right turns, that the human, that is, the Homo sapien, has always been steadily evolving, and that Neanderthals, Australopithecine, and these other were these small branches that hither and thither shot off from the main human family trunk. But in point of fact, we were always sort of the main story there when it came to the family tree. But the Neanderthal gave rise, or I should say migrated out of Africa first. And they split, and they headed for Europe and Asia. Now, I, as I said, much of the Neanderthal record is in Europe, but there is Neanderthal record elsewhere. So I was just theorizing that, you know.
Well, you blew it, Hendry, so...
What do you mean I blew it?
You were saying red hair, therefore, oh, yeah, that's right, they were in Europe. Well, guess what? There might have been Chinese Neanderthal.
Yeah, what about the Chinese ones?
What do you mean the Chinese Neanderthal?
Probably like Chinese Neanderthal. They look like Neanderthal, but they look like a Chinese one.
No, no, no. That's not how it worked, okay?
Was there racial Neanderthals?
See, here's the thing. I don't know that Neanderthals developed I don't know that they were around long enough to develop racial characteristics the way humans did. There is this Neanderthal that I'm showing on Phil TV right now. This is an actual Neanderthal model in a museum in Europe, I think, that was done based upon some kind of record, some kind of a skeletal record. I was just showing you there. It's very difficult, though. If you look up Neanderthal and then you hit images, it's difficult to get a scientific view of a Neanderthal because everybody is such a clown. You know, they're picking pictures of Chuck Norris. Here is a Neanderthal.
What do you think about that?
What do I think about what?
The thing about Chuck Norris being Neanderthal.
Oh, well, you come on, Dickman, and get your head right. We've got very little time left in the program, and Mr. Hendry is trying to lay some information out here.
Bud, flush out your headgear, will you?
Flushing it out.
What do you mean, Chuck Norris? No, he is not.
You are.
I'm talking about the redhead. If you're talking about the red hair thing, yeah, maybe Chuck Norris does have some Neanderthal. Hell, I don't know. Talking about the actual skeletal structural look of a Neanderthal, it's agreed that the Neanderthal was shorter. Neanderthals were far more muscular. They had a thicker bone. They had a shorter leg. They had a broader chest. There are different things about them, you know. The cranial capacity, that is brain capacity, is similar or greater, believe it or not, than humans.
And yet Neanderthals were not as bright.
Well, what do you mean by bright?
Didn't you say they didn't know how to sew or something like that?
Yeah, you said that, Mr. Runner.
I didn't say that. They, what do you mean, didn't know how to sew? They didn't have buttons like we humans. I don't know if humans had buttons, but humans had a way of attaching or connecting two pieces of fabric, and Neanderthals had not yet developed that. Plus, humans fished. Neanderthals didn't. There's a human record of fish hooks and fossilized fish bones that are found in human encampments during the same period Neanderthals were around, and you don't find a similar record with Neanderthals. That could change, though, see? Every time you say, well, you know, Neanderthals were this, that, and this, that, you don't know, because maybe in 50 years or sooner or longer, somebody is going to be doing some archaeological dig somewhere, and they go, oh, look at this. Here's a Neanderthal camp, and there's a fish hook, you know?
Yeah, but maybe that's the only one that did know how to fish.
What are you talking about, man? Wasn't the only one.
Maybe it's the only Neanderthal that does.
What do you mean, Neanderthal?
Dickman, why don't you pronounce things right? You can at least do that. They're called Neanderthals, or whatever the hell Henry said.
Neanderthals. Now, the Neanderthal left Africa, they say, a few thousand years before we did. They were followed hundreds of thousands of years, I should say. They were followed hundreds of thousands of years later by our own branch, the Homo sapiens. The latest findings suggest that those new arrivals must have acquired beneficial traits from Neanderthals through interbreeding. So we go blowing into town, you know.
Yeah, man, the first thing we do is rape their women.
Oh, will you come on?
Well, Phil, it's no big thing. I mean, what are you getting all indignant for?
Well, Bud's saying that the humans just came in and attacked them?
Maybe.
Well, who cares? I mean, it's not like, what, are you defending the honor of your family tree?
Hey.
What a fake laugh you got, man.
No, don't kid him.
What?
Obviously, you don't think it's funny.
Plus, it's in my left ear, too, and I'm going to really start swinging if someone doesn't get this kid to back off.
Move away, bud.
I didn't do anything.
Move away. All right, so they were followed hundreds of thousands of years later by our own branch, Homo sapiens. We arrive, and the first thing we do is have sex with these Neanderthals because we've been on the road a long time. And anyway...
Oh, isn't that funny?
Well, so... It's pretty fascinating, says one of the scientists, Dr. Akey. This is the gentleman who is from the London School of, Heaviosity. He says it's pretty fascinating, a fascinating way of adapting to an environment. Instead of resting on your laurels, waiting for an adaptation to appear, you just pick up one from the local population. Not that, you know, this was a plan. It happens. And this may be why humans ultimately survived and why humans ultimately were the superior hominid. And when I say hominid, bud, I'm talking about two-legged, intelligent or nascently intelligent. And nascent means beginning. God, the stuff I got to explain.
I know what you're talking about. I got a dictionary.
Okay.
How you spell nascent?
So anyway... It's a pretty fascinating way of adapting. The adaptions might have included lighter skin to soak up more vitamin D from sunlight, or there may have been other skin or hair qualities more suited to a cold climate. There are so many things that skin does that it's hard to say which traits were influenced more by the Neanderthal variant. So our skin and our hair.
Those are the two primary areas of the Neanderthal DNA.
That's right. Skin and hair. Other traits were apparently not so advantageous. Let's see... There's long stretches of DNA that are nearly devoid of Neanderthal influence. Those areas included the sex-related X chromosome and genes that are more highly expressed in the testes. That's a big clue that the Neanderthal coding for reproductive traits caused decreased fertility in males when it was blended into the human genome. Through succeeding generations, natural selection would remove that inconvenient coding from sex-related regions of the genome. So the Neanderthal DNA that we inherited right at the beginning, whether it was for skin and hair, it also included a less productive reproductive area. Maybe that's why Neanderthals died out.
Well, you said Neanderthals died out because the humans out-hunted and outfished.
Yeah, you said they outfished them.
What do you mean they outfished them? I didn't say that.
Well, you said something. Humans can fish better, and so they caught all the fish, and the Neanderthals were dead in their boats.
Yeah, that's probably what it looked like, too, General. All laying dead.
Can you imagine that? You go down to the lake, and there's all these boats just floating into the bank with these dead ape men in them. Holy jeez.
Yeah, that's pretty weird.
No, I don't think that's how it happened, okay? I mean, humans were very difficult to compete with. Humans were smart. We hunted better than they did. We just did things better. We were faster, and the poor Neanderthals couldn't compete. I don't think we went into the lake and fished everything out till you saw boatloads of dead ape men.
Well, that's what you're saying.
No, I'm not. Since boatloads of dead Neanderthals with... Besides, they couldn't fish.
Well, and there's another reason.
Well, I don't know. The whole thing of it is they were an inferior species. God rest the little Neanderthal man. Long may he run, because we got his skin and we got his hair. Okay, cool. So, there you go.
Yeah, good thing I don't look like him.
Well, whatever, bud. You know, if I were you, I wouldn't be knocking people's looks, okay? And you're the one that said Mo Howard.
No, that was me, for God's sake.
Yeah, General, you said that Mo Howard is the most likely-looking offspring of a Neanderthal and a human.
Even with the bald haircut?
Yes, I'll throw that in, too.
All right, the Puppy Bowl is coming up, man. A lot of people excited about that. We're going to talk about the Puppy Bowl and the Hallmark Channel's possible competition for the Puppy Bowl. That's right, for the first time, the Puppy Bowl is going to be the target of some hard-ass, heavy-hitting, badass, ass-kicking competition. I'm kidding about that. Well, who knows? From the Hallmark Channel, we'll tell you what that will entail when we come back on the world-famous Bill Henry Show. All right, we're back, man.
Woo!
Yeah. World-famous Phil Henry Show. Puppy Bowl breeds cute contenders, dogs, cats, and goldfish. How about that?
Are you trying to tell me the Puppy Bowl? Oh, they really... I'll tell you what, some people have got a pair on them.
Well, everyone knows the Puppy Bowl can't be messed with.
No, the Puppy Bowl can't be messed with, but they're going to try with the Kitten Bowl. That's right.
The kitten boy. That's going to stiff out of the box.
Hold on for a minute, man. Don't you like kittens?
Well, yeah, everybody likes kittens, but a kitten is going to... Kittens ain't anywhere near as cool as puppies.
Kittens are not as cool as puppies. I got to give you that much. I like kittens. They're cool, but puppies rock. Anyway, let's just read here. The fierce competition of Super Bowl Sunday won't be confined to MetLife Stadium. As you know, Animal Planet's Puppy Bowl, in which puppies haul chew toys across a mock football field for points, has long reigned as the cutest sporting event of the year. But now kittens and goldfish are throwing down.
Yeah, right, goldfish.
Hold on. The Puppy Bowl, 10 years old this year, has become one of the top television alternatives to the Super Bowl. The Puppy Bowl draws 12.4 million viewers over the course of its 12-hour marathon. Along with a handful, that was last year.
How many is that, 12.4?
Yeah, that's a lot for cable.
How many is there the Walking Dead draw?
I don't know what Walking Dread Walking Dead.
Well, did we talk Walking Dread?
No, Walking Dead.
They get a Walking, well, it's stupid, though.
What is?
They get a Walking Dead puppy.
Don't be funny, man.
I'm not trying to be funny.
Yeah, no, yes, he is trying to be funny, and no, it ain't funny. Walking Dead puppy.
They had a walking puppy.
Hey, Bud, shut up, okay? You know, the more you talk, the dumber you sound, all right?
Bud, what are you talking about, a walking puppy?
He's talking about the Walking Dead and having zombie puppies or something, right?
Yeah.
Well, guess what, man? Lame idea, okay? The Puppy Bowl, 10 years old this year, has become one of the top television... are you guys playing tic-tac-toe?
I'm passing Bud a note. You want to see it?
Yeah. Bud, shut up. Yeah, that's a good note.
Thank you.
The Puppy Bowl, 10 years old... What are you doing, Bud?
Passing her a note.
Give me that! F you, huh?
Oh, really?
Hey! Get your hands off him, Margaret.
Dad, you try to choke me. Sorry.
Will you look at this copy? The Puppy Bowl, 10 years old this year, has become one of the top television alternatives to the Super Bowl, drawing 12.4...
Yeah, a million viewers. We got it already.
All right, well, I'm going to repeat it. Over the course of its 12-hour marathon, along with a handful of other alternatives, including PBS's Downton Abbey and Showtime's Shameless, the Puppy Bowl will once again go head-to-head with the big game. Now, this year, the canine competition faces its own counter-programming. On February the 2nd, Hallmark Channel will air its first Kitten Bowl, billed as the greatest feline showdown in cable TV history. I don't know, man.
So what are they going to do to these cats?
Let me tell you something. If I find out that they're doing anything with these cats, like catnipping them or anything like that for the entertainment, I'm going to really be pissed off.
Now, do you think they'll do something like that?
I wouldn't put it past them.
Wait a minute, Senator, you saying what?
I'm telling you that if I find out that they're given, because all of a sudden, this is money. You understand? This is money. And when money is involved, human beings will do anything. Now, we all know what circuses do. We've been down there. So if you're going to have the kitten bowl, cats are not as animate as dogs. They just aren't. They're not as interesting if they're just laying around licking themselves. And 90% of the time, that's what a cat does. So you got to get a cat to move. Kittens are very animate, yes. But if the kittens are just laying there licking themselves, you got yourself a problem, pal. And if you're losing money...
Well, you're not saying they would do something to those kittens.
I'm telling you they give them catnip, something like that. Okay, so I don't know what it is, man, but these days in my life, I just don't put up with that crap anymore. Anyway,
giving a cat catnip, that's what you do. You give cats catnip.
You may give cats catnip for a variety of reasons, and it may be good, it may be bad, but you giving a cat a catnip so he pops around on a TV screen so that some ass who's an advertiser makes his money with people tuning in. No.
Why do you say that?
Well, think about it, okay? You're using an animal. You're giving the animal some sort of a stimulant to entertain the masses so some jackass with a dog food company makes money.
What about cat food?
I don't care if it is cat food. Anyway, what's that?
Athletic enhancement.
Well, yeah, but it's a dumb animal. It doesn't even have a choice. All this kitten knows is somebody picked him up and dropped him in the middle of a really hot little mat where there's lights and cameras and stuff. And he's looking around, and he's scared, and so he's not doing anything. And so they, you know, give him some catnip to make him jump around. That same day, Nat Geo Wild will premiere its fish bowl, which follows a goldfish named Goldie as she navigates her glass bowl for 4 straight hours. Wow, that's really great. Bill Abbott, president and CEO of Hallmark Channel's parent company, Crown Media, sees room for more than one baby animal showdown. Kittens especially are just as cute as puppies, and in fact, sometimes cuter, he said. People who love cats should have an alternative as well, said Bill, as he continued to lie to whoever it was that he was talking to. Excuse me. Jeff Daniels, executive vice president and general manager of Nat Geo Wild, said the channel felt an obligation to launch its own animal bowl. To put puppies and kittens in a bowl is just wrong, he said. The only thing that belongs in a bowl, other than chips, are fish. So it's all very good-natured until the real money starts being made. Puppy Bowl executive producer Melinda Toporoff. Why am I choking to death here? There, I'm having a little bit of a Coke. Excuse me, a little bit of a drink. Puppy Bowl executive producer Melinda Toporoff said, the idea for the show grew out of a brainstorming session a decade ago. They thought, you know, who can compete with the Super Bowl? Let's just put some puppies on a field and call it Puppy Bowl, she said. I don't think anyone realized what they were kicking off. Why is that? Asked someone. Because we're television executives, she said, and laughed. Ha, 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 ha. All right. So there you have it, man. So the Puppy Bowl has got the Kitten Bowl, and the Kitten Bowl has got the Goldfish Bowl.
I just saw a commercial, Mr. Ennett. I don't know if you're interested, a kid with a bear.
Yeah, there was a kid with a bear in a commercial. Why?
Because what if that bear, you know, ate that kid or something?
Yeah, what if the bear ate the kid? What do you want me to say, man, you know?
Well, why do they have a bear on a television commercial?
I don't know why they have the bear on a television commercial, but it would serve them right for that bear to eat that kid. See, one of these days, folks, they're going to lose a human being shooting a commercial with a bear. Anyway, keep an eye on the Kitten Bowl, because I think something rotten is brewing there.
Phil, you shouldn't do that. You know, if you don't have any evidence of that, don't say that.
No, I'm going to say it. I don't care. Something rotten is brewing with the Kitten Bowl.
Yeah, you don't know how to do with a puppy.
Oh, what do you got to do to a puppy, man? Puppies, you don't need to do anything. You don't have to give them catnip or puppy nip or whatever the hell it is. Dog nip. They'll do what they do, and that's what they do, man. Puppies are cool. Kittens are not. Very, you know, they don't. You got to drag a string across the table and stuff like that.
Well, but kittens do jump around very cutely.
Yeah, they do, but you got to do something. You got to throw a ball at them, drag a string, have some yarn. They don't just jump around and grab stuff, you know.
Well, I don't know. There's some kittens that will. I had a kitten once that was very irritating. It would leap up and grab my head And as soon as I'd try to get him off, he'd jump off and run. And then I'd sit back down to tie my shoes, and the kitten would leap up and grab my head again. And I'd go to grab the kitten, and it ran away. And finally, I got so fed up, I wanted to grab it and throw it. And again, I went to grab it, and it ran away. So I just had to pick something up and throw it, and I did, and I knocked this door off its hinge, and the cat escaped. And that's the last we saw of it.
A kitten?
Yes.
Well, that's too bad, man. Kittens aren't going to survive very much in the wilds of California. Were you living in California?
No, we were not. At that time, we were in upstate New York.
Well, why were you going to throw something? Why did you want to throw that kitten?
Because it was gripping my head. And I felt humiliated by that as I was trying to tie my shoes.
Well, I had a kitten one time when I would come home at night. I was working in New Orleans at the time at WNOE-FM, and I would come home. I always stopped at this Popeye's Fried Chicken. And one night I stopped, I got my Popeye's Fried Chicken, and I came home, and the damn cat grabbed a hold of the Popeye's Fried Chicken. And this damn cat stole a chicken leg, and it was a kitten, too. This kitten, it wasn't a very big kitten. I mean, it wasn't a very big cat, you know. It was a little tiny kitten, but you should have seen this little tiny kitten with its little cat butt going up and down in the air with this damn chicken leg trying to make off with it. So I had to grab the little bastard, and I pulled the chicken away from it, and it, you know, flipped me off with its little paw.
10 seconds.
No, it flipped you off.
Yes. 5. Kidding. 4. All right, we'll see you guys tomorrow night.